You about ready? This is Marty Ford from the beautiful downtown basement of Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonsil Wash Station, coming to you live on bbsradio.com, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, with our great show, You About Ready. And what you are about ready for is who knows. Whatever is on the desk and is coming out of my mouth, through my teeth and lips, into the world of cyberspace for you to enjoy, to listen, learn, and laugh at some of the stuff that goes on here. If you listen, you might learn something, and along with it, in life, you must laugh. We're here to empower. We're here to empower you, to help you accomplish more than you ever thought possible, for you to fight boredom, the enemy of us all, with things to do to fight boredom, the enemy of us all. We're going to encroach upon the world of play, which you did when you were a kid, and suddenly, as you grow up, you don't do it anymore. You know, the greatest time I had in life was as a kid. Being an adult is the dumbest thing I've ever done so far, and I'm sure I'll do a lot more as I age. But you know what? Be a kid. Enjoy life. Like I say, ride a bike, paint your face, splash in a puddle. Get silly a little bit, right? Just a little, and then bring it back to your center. If you listen to the empowerment segment of this, your center is most important. It's a place from where you start and go out into the world and then come back to your center to gain your strength, to rest, to enter your spiritual world, and then to redo the whole thing again and repeat the process. Because if repeat and repeat, we're sitting on a fence and Pete fell off, who'd be left? I hope you said repeat, because if Pete and repeat were sitting on a fence and Pete fell off, who'd be left? I hope you said repeat, because if Pete and repeat were sitting on a fence and Pete fell off, who'd be left? Once again, I hope you said repeat, and by now you get the gist of what I'm saying. If you're interested in calling in and talking to us here on You About Radio, You About Ready with Marty Ford, live on bbsradio.com, you can call in the station at 888-627-6008. You might be talking to Elvis tonight, who's got a deep voice. Very good. He slept with the windows open, and that's what happens. 888-627-6008. You can access BBS Radio, my show, You About Ready. Go to the website, www.bbsradio.com, and follow your way through the apps on Google. And I'm learning about this, but if you have an Apple device, an Android, and so forth, you can listen to the show live as you go about your business. And you can also send me an email here at my show, HAMP. H-A-M-P 73@gmail.com. HAMP 73@gmail.com. I want to put a plug in for all the veterans out there, because veterans, if it wasn't for them, by the way, we're going to know that they came out of Iraq, they hooked the left, I think it was, and went to Afghanistan, and maybe we'll pull them out of there now that we've been in there for many years, and we'll probably have to send them off to Russia or the Ukraine or wherever, which side we're going to take out there when this crisis evolves into what it's going to become, which is dangerous, ugly, and dirty, nasty, and life-threatening. And it's a daggum shame that this stuff is happening. And I'm no politician. I don't know anything about what's going on. And I know nothing about history. But it just doesn't look good. Just as it doesn't look good for those 280 girls that are kidnapped over in Africa, Nigeria, I think it is. What the heck is going on out there? Don't mess with the kids. When you mess with your kids, that's a problem. When you mess with any kid, that's a problem. You don't deserve to be out there on the streets in public doing what you do. We don't need that. We need to get you out of the society and away from our people, any people, wherever it's at. So let's get angry, folks. I was angry last week at a couple of issues, and now I'm angry now. And I'm angry. We'll get into the good stuff in a minute, but I want to vent and get the anger out. Because, you know, that's why so many people have problems and issues. They keep that anger deeply stuffed into their soul, into their head, into their heart, and into their belly. It invades their world. It impedes their progress into doing anything. Sad case. Sad case. A fellow I know just took himself out of the game. Why? Because of anger over decades and abuse and alcoholism, drug use, incarceration, rehab, etc., etc. Nothing worked because he never got over the pain, the hurt, the disgrace, the shame that occurred during a child molestation episode when he was a kid in a trusted, safe, supposedly, environment with elders in his charge. And that's ugly and nasty. And those people are the ones who get away with it. Those folks are the ones who are on the streets. predators, stalkers, ruining of lives. They ruin lives, and they cause people. I know personally, I used to play basketball with one of the guys from, I played ball tonight, feeling good, got my aches and pains, but you know, last week I had to miss a couple, and the pain of not playing is far worse than any pain that I've learned to endure. You play through the pain for the love of the game and the love of yourself, the love you have for yourself that keeps you going and hanging out with the guys and shooting the breeze, talking sports and gibberish and all that other stuff. So there's so much going on in the mental health world that we have a month for it. We have a month. We'll get to the silly stuff soon, but we got to take care of some serious business, right? A month. May is now designated. Every month seems, every illness, every condition has to have an event, a month, a day, a week designated to recognize it. And then it goes away. You know, it takes hours, 7, 8, 9 hours to cook that Thanksgiving turkey, if you do it right, according to the Butterball recipe that you call up 800 for and get help with it. Why, I don't know, but people need that crutch to depend on. How do I cook that turkey? Well, you put whatever seasoning and spices you like, throw in an onion or some garlic, cover it up and let the damn thing cook. Baste it once in a while. And the turkey actually should be cooked white meat and dark meat separately because it cooks too long and the dark meat is juicy and the white meat gets dried out, sort of like us as people. So we have a month designated for Mental Health Month. Celebrate and observe every day. Take advantage. Use life tools. I am a personal coach, a life skills coach, a business management consultant, and I will help you enhance, enrich, and enlighten your world. And I will also put more money in your pocket by increasing profits. Fill your bank accounts and your wallet with profits, because there's only nothing more important than the moolah. Hallelujah, we know that the moolah. Money talks, everything else walks. We used to call it BS. Well, if you feel like you're the only dog in a kennel, then you need to listen to our show right here on bbsradio.com. This is Marty Ford, and you about ready, because here we go. You know, music and sports motivates and inspires me. Something has to motivate and inspire you. I'm here to do that, to help and guide you, to give you a resource, a tool, a valuable asset, to convince you, persuade you, let you know that you do have the good inside you to accomplish more than you ever thought possible, to achieve a goal. What did you do for yourself this past week, right? Did you have fun? Did you laugh? Did you go somewhere new and interesting? Did you meet someone? Did you have a conversation in person, face to face, using our language and not an electronic vehicle to communicate? What did you do for yourself? Did you lose weight? Hey, bathing suit season here. It is here. You got to shed some pounds so you get your feet off the ground, right? And you want to get out there looking good, because when you're looking good, you're feeling good. And we're going to talk about looking good in a minute, especially for the ladies, because there's something out there as a tool that I learned about many years ago and has sort of gone by the wayside. So music, sports, and motivates me. I still see Secretariat running away with the races. I still see Usain Bolt winning by as many lengths as Secretariat did. And best of all, I can still see Kerry Strug struggling in that Olympic competition when she hit the vault, hurt her foot, got up and limped back, made that second run, hit the vault, landed on a foot and a third, did her closing arm stretch and whatever they do, that procedure to let the judges know that they're finished and complete, and she hit the ground. Then the coach came up and picked up this, I think, 14 or 15, 85-pound pack of humanity, of strength, of courage. The camera was on her face. You could see her will, the pain out of her body and her soul. It was not going to get in her way. Nothing was going to get in her way. If you need an inspiration, type in the Olympics, Kerry Strug on the vault to get the gold medal. God dang it. If you're not motivated there, then there's nothing going to get you off that chair, because you got to get up, get out, and get going to do something for yourself, to make you feel good about yourself, to fight boredom, the enemy of us all, to allow you to be a kid and play, and most of all, to empower you. And that's what the Oogle Bird is all ready to do right now. We always start with some critical thinking. Oh, I want to go back. I do a commercial for my website, www.connectwithveterans.com. www.connectwithveterans.com. It's a website where all veterans from any war, any conflict, any police action, whatever you want to call it, serving our country, can go and register. And you could do it for them. It's a nice present. It's a nice present. Costs $25, one-time registration fee with a $10 annual renewal fee. The money goes to help offset some of the costs for the website and all the other money we hope to raise. We're hoping to raise it. We need people to sign up by the hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands so we can go out and give it back to deserving veterans and their families, because there's a lot of red tape. I'm not like wounded warriors. I'm not taking $300,000 or down to $150,000 for my buddies who I bring along. Not that project. We ain't about that. I ain't about that. The world shouldn't be about that. It ain't about me. It's about you. That's why I'm here. I got mine. Not that I have it all. But I got enough for me right now, and the family seems to be all right. So we want to help. You can't keep it unless you give it away. We want to raise money. Veterans helping veterans help themselves. So you sign up, put your name, the years you served, the branch you were in, the ranks you had, the jobs you had, any special things about you. You played on a team, you were in a special unit, an outfit, commendations, awards, et cetera, et cetera. Put your personal information in and let everybody do that, and let's help find our buddies, because there's a very special and unique relationship develops and exists when you spend time with someone in a situation serving our country, the great country of the United States of America. We are the greatest country, whether you want to believe it or not. And please pay your taxes, right? We know a lot of it's going sideways, but a lot of it goes to good use. And we need money to help the veterans. And we want to do that through my website, www.connectwithveterans.com. Have your folks sign up. Have you sign up. And let's get some money out there to help our deserving veterans who might need a boost in life. We ain't going to make them financially wealthy, but everybody needs a boost here and now, especially the 4,500 homeless female veterans that are out there. I just read about a few weeks ago. How much does a pirate pay to have his ears pierced? Remember this one from last week, if you were here? How much does a pirate pay to have his ears pierced? He pays a buck an ear. A buck an ear, right? A dollar an ear. I don't know how much it costs. I'm scared of that stuff, so I'm not doing it. The only thing I want to pierce is I want to watch Paul Pierce make some threes and twos and passes, and he's just a great player for the Nets. And the tournament is going on as we speak. Great time of the year, folks. And guess what? In another 2 weeks, we're going to be able to say, hey, next month, now it's June, next month is football season. And they have all the college stuff going on. The draft is coming up. Very exciting time. Sports is a great motivator. A lot of stuff goes on in sports that shouldn't go on, as far as injury reporting, bribes, graft, and corruption, substance abuse, and all that stuff. But the beauty of the game will never be compromised for the sake of a few. The beauty of sport and competition and fun and play. That's what they're doing. These folks are out there playing, doing what they love, doing what they do best, and a little bit more, because that's what it takes to be a winner. There's nothing wrong with winning. Not everybody has to be a loser. You're going to lose along the way, and it's only a loss if you don't learn from it and move on to make it a victory in the future, whether it's sports or the game of life, which is the biggest sport out there. This week's Brain Buster. What's the one sport, here we go, where both spectators and participants don't know the score or the leader until the contest is over? I'll repeat it. That's a lengthy one. What's the one sport where both spectators and participants don't know the score or the leader until the contest is over? How about that one? Come back next week. Visit us on bbsradio.com, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Marty Ford and You About Ready. We're moving on to the tidbits of useless information from my vast warehouse and storage facility. This is a good one. Whether or not it's true, it's believable. It's fun anyway. Did you know that the Declaration of Independence was written on hemp paper? Wow. What did they know back then, right? What did they smoke back then, and what did they know? Is hemp that long-lasting? Is the high you get from smoking that stuff or using that stuff that long-lasting? I don't know. But, you know, as this stuff gets more legal and legal throughout the country, maybe the world, and tax money's raised and revenue is generated and jobs are created and all the treatments that's going to go on for people who overdo it, like with alcohol or gambling or food or drugs or anything else, that's the outcome of it. But it will be profitable for some. And if anybody's out there, let's take advantage of some Nancy Pelosi insider trading. Because if she can do it, why? Because she says she can. Now, I don't want to go out there with insider trading, but if anybody knows a selection of stocks that we could buy to make a few bucks, I don't want you on the inside, just a guy on the street, right? Soliciting. I'm not soliciting insider information, but recommendations. Hey, let's buy this. Somebody always says, hey, buy Coke or Pepsi or McDonald's or Target or something like that. Why not? Let's do it with the marijuana stocks. If you know something, and if it's legal, we'll do it. We'll buy a few shares. Penny stocks are cool if you can make some money on it. I don't know. We have one other tidbit of useless information that I just have to do. I'm compelled to do it. The percentage of students who graduate Harvard with honors is 80%. Now, you pay a lot to go there, so I guess they have some really smart people, or else they're helping you get along there. But I only brought that up because I might have mentioned this before, but when you're talking with somebody and they say, well, when I was back in college or when I was in school or when I was at the university, after high school, I went to college. No one ever comes out and says, when I went to XYZ college, except those who went to Harvard, because they open their sentence by saying, well, when I was in Harvard, when I was at Harvard, and so forth and so on. Whereas us general folk just say, when I was back in college. And then when probed a little bit further, after a couple of communications back and forth, messages sent and received, they say, oh, yeah, by the way, where'd you go to school? But not the folks who go to Harvard. They shine on that. They thrive on that. And that's what they want to make, put it in your face. That's where they went, and anything else is less. Well, there's a lot better places. There's just as good places and maybe some better places. And the college you go to, the one you choose, hopefully, most of the time, is the right one for you, right? And there's a big decision process that goes along with college decision. And many questions have to be answered. Parents go crazy. Kids go crazy because they don't know. You got to ask yourself, hey, am I a city, a suburban, a rural, a country type kid? Am I a small, medium, or large, or extra large type college? Right? What do they have there? Do they have any curriculum that I would like to study and not just come out with a degree and sending out resumes, something special that is unique to them? And what are the professors like? And where's the location? Cold weather, warm weather, country weather, or not country, Midwest weather, southern weather? I don't know. You have to figure out all these questions. And then you can go and look. But it's easy to say, and most people say it after they do it. We have great advice for others. Like everybody leads everybody else's life better than they do. We have a lot of cliches, and cliches we know are today's modern day curse words. They take the place of profanity, and sometimes they're worse because we overhear, they're abused. They're used, abused, and all they do is confuse, because I just get sick and tired of hearing all the time. And we'll go down a list because we haven't reviewed the list in a while. Some people fight tooth and nail. Our thoughts and prayers are with you. Anytime there's a tragedy, which the news media, through their electronic brainwashing box, delivers to us all the time. They have thoughts and prayers to strangers they don't even know, which is fine. It's just filler on table. We're going to bring something to the table. We're going to utilize. We have impact. We're hell-bent in doing that, boys and girls. We're hell-bent. I want to be on the same page. We have transparency at the end of the day. That's good. Oh, you hear that all the time at the end of the day. My favorite one to hate is amazing. Every time you see and look and hear something is amazing. I don't. If everything is so amazing, why is everything so mediocre and bland? Like in some cases, the world in which we live. We got to step it up, ramp it up, dial it up, and amp it up, and pump it up. And if you're good, you'll throw up when you hear all these things. We want to work on a level playing field. When we eat, we want artisan food and infused food and confused. We want handcrafted food, hand-dipped ice cream. We have a critical mass, which is a religious service. And we got boots on the ground. I mentioned them good old boys and girls. They're going to have boots on the ground. I ain't going, but you are. We got to work out the kinks. And my favorite is all in. Putin over in Russia. Putin put in. I don't know if he can put it all in and get it all in without a little help, maybe from that blue little pill, because his herm the worm, that little one-eyed, ball-headed devil, may not be working, and maybe that's where his anger comes from, because, you know, if you can't be doing that performance for yourself and whoever you're with, then that causes a lot of frustration. Frustration leads to anger. Anger leads to bullying, and they're all out there repeating the cycle, and it's awful. Weakness is out there. The bullies are the weakest ones. And that's what they rely on, their bully tactics and behaviors. Strong, whatever you want to call it. They feel so weak about themselves, they want to make you feel lower than they do, like whale shit in the ocean. That's putting it bluntly, folks. That's how they feel, and they want you to feel lower than that. That's why they bully. That's why they have leverage. That's why they use it and abuse their power instead of doing for the good of the people. There is no good of the people. It's the good of themselves, their ego, and their weakness to satisfy their hunger and thirst for leadership. And speaking of leadership, we have an awful example of that. There was a crisis at a place, and the police were called and certain things. And the leader of this building stayed in the office and delegated through text and email, did not come out to address the crisis in the place that he leads. And it's a shame and a sin and an embarrassment. I've seen the guy. I can't even look him in the face. What is that about? How do you lead like that? That is not leadership. That's fear. That is fear and intimidation and morale busting, because the gossip starts and said, hey, where's all our support? Where's our help? I don't know. It's in the office texting and emailing. There was a guy, I just heard of a guy through a friend. He just became a manager of a bookstore or something. It's his 9th job in 9 years with the same company, and all he does is to do the things that many school superintendents do. They come in for a year or two. Superintendents have usually a 3-year contract if they're lucky. But this guy is going place to place, mucking up the waters, destroying morale, alienating the staff, and causing a miserable working environment. And then they leave. And then they leave to go do it again somewhere else. How do these people survive? How do they survive? Where does anger come from the people who are afraid of retaliation, right? Want to keep their job, maybe they have health benefits, so forth, right? What is going on there? How do these people get in positions of power over and over again? What's her name? Sebelius. She's going to surface. She was in charge of Obamacare, and she apologized, and she overtly apologized, and I'm sorry. She's going to surface somewhere else. Because the buddy system out there is going to put her in a spot, right? No different than a bully, tatting their wings, supporting themselves. So this week's cliches, I kid you not. I kid you not. As you're saying, I am not a kid, I'm a goat, but I kid you not. We hear that. These are maybe a little antiquated and old, but we still hear them a lot. I'll keep you in the loop, right? I'll include you. Inclusion's a very big part of the life process here. You want to feel part of something, part of the whole. We all know what it's like to be excluded, not part of something we want to be part of. We're excluded. We didn't get picked for the team. We're not invited to the party. All these things that keep us away. We're not in the inner circle at work or at school. We're not part of the right crowd, even in the neighborhood where you live. You're outcast. You're ostracized. You feel that way. Which is not true. You're letting yourself feel that way by your own weakness. You can keep yourself in any loop you want to be part of. Usually healthy loops is where you want to be, not fruit loops, which are all different colors with the same taste from what I just read. But you want to keep in the loop, right? That's a cliche. I'll keep you in the loop. You feel like you're part of something, right? When you're included, you feel good. Feel like you have purpose. Feel like you belong. So, we want to talk about bridesmaids' dresses, at least I do. They are so ugly, most of them, and they're so expensive. And brides, why do you do that to your friends? To incur all this extra cost for something they're going to take to the Salvation Army or the thrift store, and they're going to sell it maybe for $20 and keep 10 and give the store 10. It's awful. Let them pick a dress that they want. Well, maybe with your approval, give them a couple to choose from. But when you look at them all lined up, most of the time, it's hideous. It's just a terrible-looking thing, and I don't know why they do that, but I guess it's a bonding thing for the out-of-towners, to all the friends from the past to get together and look alike, right? It's not that appealing, and I don't know, to be burdened with the added expense in today's economy, because a lot of people are young, out of college, getting married with $100,000 in debt from the universities, and here they're going out and spending hundreds of dollars for this one-time thing, and since marriages last, half of them end in divorce, 50%, you ought to give the gift like this, the way you take a college course. If you drop it in the first week, I think you get 80% of your money back. If you do it in the second week, it's 50%. If anything less, maybe it's 20, and after 4 weeks, you get nothing back. Well, maybe if your marriage lasts a year, you can keep 50% of the gift. You put it all in escrow. Lawyers will love that. The banks will too. A lot of it will just get lost in space out there and go to unclaimed property that you won't find for another 25 years when some neighbor reads your name in the list that's published in the newspaper of unclaimed property. And if the marriage lasts 5 years, they can keep it all, right? Because you just go into this cycle of repeating the process, and it gets kind of costly. And, you know, if you don't watch the money's not going to be able to watch you. I respect all that stuff, but let there be limits. Now, speaking of brides and women, I mentioned this before, to enhance, enlighten, and enrich your world, ladies, there's something out there. I don't know anything about it. I heard about it from someone whom I love and have loved for the past 27 years. And it's the reason I do not buy my wife clothes, because she has a chart, keeps in her pocketbook, with different shades of reds, yellow, greens, blues, different shades, four or five, like a paint chart over at Home Depot or your corner neighborhood hardware store, which used to be, where you get service, customer service, and the guy knows your name, like Friends, where everybody knows your name, and you can go in and see neighbors and chit-chat, buy a can of paint, spend an extra $1.50 for it, but you're in a neighborhood. You're not in a big box lost looking for a hammer for an hour and a half from people who are in the break room smoking a cigarette and bullshit. So anyway, they have this thing, I think it's called Color My World or My Color My Life or something, where ladies, you go, girls, you go get analyzed. You sit with an expert and they look at your hair color, eye color, facial skin tone, determine if you're what season you belong to, winter, summer, etc. And they come up with a chart. And every time you go to buy a blouse, a pair of pants or something, whatever it is, you pull out your chart. If it's red and you're looking at a red blouse and it's on your chart, it'll look good on you. You don't even have to look in the mirror. You know it'll look good on you. You will affirm yourself by looking at your chart, matching it to the shirt. If it's not on your chart, don't buy it. It won't look good on you, even if you like it. And when things don't look good on you, guess what? We don't feel good about ourselves. This chart, this expense, you know, forget the cigarettes and the $4 cup of coffees. Go out and do something good for yourself. I'm sure you can oogle it on Google and find it. Someplace, someone in your town or your area will do this service for you. I don't know how much it costs. Right? But whatever it is, if you want to feel good about yourself, you spend money at the beauty shop on hair and nails and eyebrows and facials and massages and baths and minerals and all that stuff. Well, spend a little bit more to look good in the clothes you wear. And if you want to look good in the clothes you wear and you're not happy with the way you look right now, get in shape. And this just isn't for the women. This is for everybody. Like I said, it's bathing season, bathing suit season. It's right here. It's around the corner. You know, officially, it's Memorial Day, and that's the start of it. The way Labor Day is the end of it, don't wear white after that. Where's that law from? I don't know. But get up, get out, and get going. Take a walk. Go for a bike ride. Take a hike. Go swimming. Go on the trip. Get outside. You know, the winter's over. You know, treadmills are good if you're in your house and you're on the cell phone working and can do two things. But multitasking, remember, multitasking, 99% of the time, it's one person doing many things at the same time. Unfortunately, none of them well, but you can do that. I mentioned last week the treadmill that should have all the stuff with it so you can multitask. But get in shape. Cut down on the food. Increase the expenditure of energy. Decrease the amount of consumption. You'll lose weight. It's not a miracle. You don't need the pills and powders and potions and all the other things out there. You don't need that. You have yourself. You are the source of your strength. You're the one who's going to make you successful with a little boost now and then, like we need for our veterans. That's why we have the website. And you're your own source of strength, as I said. Once you get going and taste a little bit of success, you know what you want? More and more and more. More and more and more. That's the way it goes with success. So let's get in shape. You want to get in shape? Right now, people get everything in shape except themselves. You know what? You go to bed hungry, miss a meal, donate the money to the food bank in the community soup kitchen, wherever you have, donate that meal or that money. I don't know if they take food anymore. Everything has to be prepared in-house. So give them a few bucks, the bucks you would spend on a meal that you really don't need or want that's going to add calories to you. Don't eat late at night. Remember we said breakfast like a king, lunch like a queen, dinner like a pauper. Go to bed hungry, wake up hungry, eat a big breakfast, take a midday snack of something crunchy, sweet. You know, carrots are good. Celery is good. Throw a little peanut butter in there to dab it up, or some hummus. Cut down on the carbs, the breads, the potatoes, the rices, the cereals, all that stuff lays in you. Lay off the heavy meals at night. It lays in you. And it's not dormant. It's active, and it's increasing your girth, right? And you don't want that. You want to wake up. The more, after a few days of doing this, a week, 5, 7, 10 days, whatever it is, you'll know it's working. You can throw away the scale. You know why? Your clothes are going to get loose and start sagging, and you're going to feel good about yourself for a couple of reasons. You're losing weight. You're looking in the mirror. You're liking who you see. You look into your eyes and say, I like you, and I'm liking you more every day. And the great thing for those who love this, I'm not one of them, you get to go shopping for new clothes, right? And you'll feel good about yourself, and what's better than that? And you're going to feel even better because you did it yourself with a little help from a friend. Like the Beatles said, with a little help from your friends. Or two, I'll be your friend, anonymous that we are, in the world of internet and cyberspace and so forth. All I'm here is providing inspiration, motivation, a little leadership, a little guidance, a little boost to get you going. In order to get there, first you got to leave, right? You got to get up, get out, and get going. You got to go out and play, and you got to get in shape. And people are getting their lawns in shape, right? The landscapers are out there filling everything up with chemicals and pellets and whatever else they put in there to create that beautifully manicured lawn that has all the stuff in it that's not good for you. We have allergies out there. We didn't have them in the mass amount that we have now. We have crazy dogs out there who are sniffing all this stuff and getting it stuck in their nose and their brains and have to be muzzled out there, right? And neighborhoods should have kids cutting grass. Kids could do it. Why? They learn life lessons. They learn work, a work ethic. What's the greatest thing a kid could have on his report card from a teacher? Right? Maybe they're not the honor student, the A student, all that stuff, but they have a good work ethic. You have a good work ethic. You welcome work. You invite work. You seek out work. You will be successful in anything you do. And most of those lessons are learned as a kid, the way chess should be taught to kids. Teach them about thinking, planning, strategy, maneuvering, patience. What does work do? Teaches about work. Teaches about money management. Teaches about communication skills with your customer, teaches you about organization and time management, customer service. One customer wants it this way, one customer wants it that way. As paper boys, we had 74 customers, and I think 50 of them all wanted their paper delivered in a different way. Wrapped or folded, not folded. Under the mat, in the door, in the mailbox, under the bush, on the lawn. Not at night, come back in the morning, whatever it is, we did it. You know, 12, 14-year-old paper boys, my brother and I, that's where we learned the value of customer service. Because without customer service, you have no business. We cut lawns in our neighborhood, not landscapers. We cut lawns, and we did ours last, right? We were always the last ones. My mother's father, grandfather, my grandfather, was a shoemaker. He repaired shoes, right? And his kids always had their shoes done last. Because he was making money off everybody else. He did theirs on Sunday when the shop was theoretically closed because the seven-day work week was not unusual back then for mom-and-pop businesses. Now it's common for the big stores. They have to be open to pay all that overhead and pay the people, which is fine. They provide jobs. But customer service, those same customers we had as for our lawn-cutting business, whatever it was, In the winter, they called them, say, hey, come shovel my snow, my driveway, my walkway, my path. Make money. Hey, nothing wrong with that. A few dollars. If you want dollars, you got to get the pennies first. If you want to have a good life, if you're struggling out there in recovery, like I know so many are, you got to do the little things in life. You got to take out the trash. You got to clean your room. You got to clean the toilet. You got to fix broken windows and doors and so forth, wherever you're living. You got to paint where it needs painting. You need to repair where it needs repairing. You need to live a clean, healthy life. Because when you're cleaning up your environment, guess what? You're cleaning up yourself. When you're wiping the mirror down because it's all foggy and dirty, you're able to look at yourself and your reflection in the mirror and say, I like you. After you've been saying, I don't like you. You'll be able to look into your eyes, look into your soul and into your heart, and like who and what you see. Because you did it. You are empowered to do that. You take care of the little things, the big things will follow all the time. It rarely, if ever, fails. You keep your nose out there. Here's a cliche. Keep your nose to the grindstone, good buddies. Right? Keep pushing. Keep going. The only one's going to stop you is you. The only one's going to say no is you. You are your best asset. And believe that in your heart, and you'll be successful. On the air, my knowledge, insight, and wisdom for you, and with you, well, I will share. There's none who compare. I'm as rare as Mr. Jordan soaring through the air with the flair of Ric Flair, ready to meet and exceed any dare. Away I go, not to enhance my ego, but to enlighten, enhance, and empower you to do for you as I do for me. Together we will make unique history. Oh, the joy, the wonder, the glee, living your life in sweet, juicy, productive, successful harmony. That is my plea. Follow my recipe. Add your own spice to enrich your life. All simple words, folks. Nothing difficult about that. Remember, people get along with me because they like the simple things in life. And simple always works best. Now, I got no compassion. Or I do have compassion, but I have none right here. I have no sympathy. Because sympathy, for what I'm going to tell you and talk about in the next minute or two, for this, sympathy you can find in the dictionary between ship and syphilis. I said ship, not ship high in transit, the acronym, right? And it all goes because this person got, this guy got executed in Oklahoma, and everyone was complaining and saying, wow, it was inhumane treatment. There was problems with it. 43 minutes it took to kill this guy. My question is, why? Who cares? Why did we give him such mercy? You know what he did? No one knows what he did. Here's what he did. This is some of it. He had a crime spree, including robbery, rape, and murder. One of his crimes, he shot a 19-year-old girl and helped bury her alive in a shallow grave where she died. Who the hell cares about this guy? I say these folks, the ones who were convicted and did this stuff, let them go out the way they took others out. Let's not be humane. Let's not feel sympathy for them. They don't deserve anything. They deserve what they gave. And then we'll see how much of this goes on. That's the rule. You go out the way you took someone else out. God forbid if you do that. It's a terrible thing. And the world, not the world, but the country was like, oh, it's a shame, it's a shame. No, it's not. It isn't. Let's get real. Let's face facts. Let's look at the truth about this. What are we producing? What are we doing when we have sympathy, when we actually give a damn and care? We've been housing him in prison probably for 20 years at 40 grand a year with cable, HBO, weightlifting, libraries, jobs, food, medical insurance that 44 million people don't have in America who go to bed hungry. What's going on? Where are our values? Where is the ethics around this? I don't know. I'm asking questions. I'll pull the goddamn switch or the trigger, whatever you want to call it. But we have to start being strong and firm and not giving in to worrying about hurting someone's feelings. And this is where it ends. It all starts way back then in the beginning, how this stuff evolves, similar to the person that I met or who I knew who took himself out this past week because of the molestation and the abuse that occurred in a safe, supposedly safe environment. It's terrible. Speaking about taking care of the little things in life, there's a law that is proposed in Spain. They want to require kids to do chores, right? They want to require what? To make your bed, to clean the sink from the toothpaste? Incidentally, I knew a guy, he used to have mints in his little dish on the TV, and you could grab a couple on the way out, until one day he told me how he made them. Disgusting. Toothpaste, the little glob that falls off out of your mouth or off the toothbrush and hardens up off in the sink overnight, he would scrape it off, wash it off, and stick it in a jar as candy. And I asked him if anybody ever took them. He said no, and the reason was they weren't wrapped. So somebody knew that. But that's a disgusting thing, isn't it? We don't know how disgusting we can be as individuals when you leave the bathroom. That is a sacred ground for disgusting habits. We all know that. Listen to the sounds and the smells that emanate from the bathroom, and your olfactories will go into overdrive, and you want to avoid it and shut it down. We are a disgusting group of folks. Just look at a porta potty anywhere in public. So they want to require kids to do chores. What is that about? When are we going to put up boundaries? And this is what you're doing. And if you don't do this, this ain't happening. We're afraid to punish. The kids will call child welfare services on us. He didn't let me go to have ice cream because, whoa, you're an abusive parent. You're going to have to go on under our control and then ruin your family and so forth. Why are we so soft? I think that's what Russia is doing. Something's going on out there in Russia, and they're going to team up. He's got the Black Sea with Crimea, and they're going to inch around and move out and spread out and get back the rest of Russia and those other countries, and then go to China and say, hey, motherfuckers, let's go. We're going to take America. They're fat, lazy, obese, apathetic, and they care nothing about all the electronics that China, you've been pumping into their country for 25 or 30 years. Remember what Perot said, when you send your jobs overseas, you ruin your economy. Well, look at what's going on. We don't make anything anymore. So we want kids to become empowered. We want to teach them life lessons and skills. We teach them when they were young. It'll open up opportunities for them because there's many others who won't or don't do those little things like clean the room, take out the trash, make the bed, sweep, dust, and mop, do the laundry, go to bed with a clean and clear kitchen sink. Don't leave those dishes in there overnight. It's nasty. And clean out your car and do the same thing and cook your own food. If someone is making your bed, doing your laundry, preparing your food, doing all this stuff for you, flushing your toilet, and you're over 6 years old, you got a problem. As a kid, you're going to be dependent and maybe even codependent on other things out there. So let's get rid of laws that require kids to do chores. Let's just go back to having kids do chores. They might become better people and happy people. And so will you. Because why? You are empowering somebody. You are giving it away. Remember, as a kid, you have information. As an adult, you have knowledge. When you get to be a senior citizen, you have wisdom. It's the trifecta. But guess what, folks? It's all the same stuff. It just changes as you age. So a wise person, talking to a young kid with all the wisdom that they have, the kid says, wow, you're so smart. I just learned that in school yesterday. Kid goes away to college for a couple of years, comes home for Christmas dinner, tells his parents, wow, it's amazing. Hey, there it is. It's amazing how much you've learned in the years I've been away, mom and dad, or parent, or guardian, or caregiver, whoever you are out there. You know, there's a black box, and they're looking for it. I actually think the black box is orange from what I've seen on TV on this Malaysia flight because I kept hearing the pinging sounds. And you never know what to believe anymore and how things are either manufactured or rigged or fixed or covered up or other things that are inappropriate and illegal. Maybe someone in a low-flying plane dumped a similar black box with voices that are inaudible into the deep ocean, right, to give off this pinging sound. Maybe there's a big conspiracy theory out there. Someone knows what's going on, just like someone knows what's going on in Benghazi, right? So I don't know where the truth is. I don't know where the truth is, right? But someday the truth will come out and will set people free who are in crisis in Malaysia and all the other countries where the passengers of that ship, of that airplane, went down, wherever it is. We got to get to the truth. The truth will set you free if you live long enough, right? I don't know. I'm hoping. Now, there's something about breakfast cereal. You can buy the little size box. You can buy the big industrial size box that takes up all the shelf space, but you can save a dollar on it. But when it's presented in a plain bag, let's say you buy a big box of oat cereal and you take it out of the package and stick it on the shelf. It's in a bag. It doesn't have the same appeal to people as when these, now they have little cups, single size serving, not the ones where you eat the box with the perforation on it. These are like plastic, not the little cardboard ones that come 10 in a pack. I think Kellogg's makes those. You pour the milk and eat out. The ones that are packaged individually sell for like $1 a piece, and they have the appeal. People are like magnets. They go right to them. But the same cereal in a bag doesn't have the appeal. It won't get eaten. It's like, how are we brainwashed with the marketing people out there? Because presentation, as we know, is everything. Two people go to a steakhouse, one steak comes out, and it's sizzling on that hot plate with a steak knife and a heavy fork and that mushroom on top and some juices oozing down and so forth. That is appealing. The same steak comes out to another person on a paper plate with plastic utensils and a paper napkin, not cloth, with a piece of celery on top, that's not appealing because the juices are ruining the paper plate or the styrofoam. So presentation's everything, and I was able to witness this bag of cereal versus the little box, and everybody went for the little box or the little package, and the big bag stayed untouched. And it's a shame because it's the same thing. You know, when we lie to the government, it's a crime. When we do it, it's a crime. However, when they lie to us, it's just plainly called politics. That's the way it is, right? And it's one incestuous family of fraternity of the same like-kind folks. I don't know what goes on there. Actually, political science, people take it in college. I'm a political science major. Well, there's politics, which is interpretive and subjective because it depends on who's writing and changing the rules, policies, and laws. Then there's science, which is exact, and math, which is exact, right? There's an answer. It's objective, right? It's oxymoronic to have a political science as a curriculum because there's no science in politics. It's like who you know and who you have leverage on and what you need from them and what you can give them in trade for making the deal. It's just the barter system. Oh, it's on a higher scale, right? Statins provide a false reassurance. People seem to believe that statins can compensate for poor dietary choices and a sedentary life. Again, we're looking to a pill to cure us, to get rid of all our ills. When, if we take care of ourselves as a youth, learn those valuable life lessons, teach them to our kids so they can use them with a little bit of rebellion, because they're always going to do that against their parents, as they are growing up and moving into their later years in high school, college, and post-college or in the workforce and so forth. But if we have good habits, a good work ethic, a good health ethic, if you take care of yourself, hey, I tell you, I'm 63, I'm limping, I'm gimping, I'm doing everything I can out there. I'm not as mobile, agile. I am fragile, not hostile, right? But I'm out there, and the guys are tolerant, and they let me play, even if I don't bring the ball, both for basketball and soccer. And I'm nothing great, I'm not special, but I'm committed to do it for my own self-preservation, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, biologically, whatever it is. The blood keeps flowing. We don't need no little blue pills, guys, if you take care of yourself and don't rely on a pill. You don't need the statins if you take care of yourself. And some of it's genetic and hereditary. I understand that. But if you're doing the right things for yourself and living a clean, healthy, sober, productive, successful life, you don't need all these outside influences to control your world. You are in control. You are in control. And that's good. That makes you feel good about yourself. That empowers you, right? Here's one that is an ethics question. Oh, we got so much to do tonight. I'm not going to get to all of it. How about that? A California legislature, they want to tax motorists for every mile they drive, right? Put a tax for all every mile you drive. So I guess you got to keep track of it, or else do it at the gas station, right? But the charge, it would 1.5 cents per mile, right? That's a thought right now. That's what they want to do. Like, that goes along with this guy who's a politician from Virginia, right? First guy is in California, right? And it's a Democrat. I don't care what team you play for. But this other guy named Moran, not moron, because we have protons, neutrons, and electrons. And I said last week we also have morons. He makes $174,000 a year, and he wants an additional $25 every day he's working because it's a high cost of living down there, and he has to cope with the high cost of living. And I'd like to see the way he lives. I want to see the $4 cup of coffee, maybe the pack of cigarettes, maybe the $50 bottle of wine, or the expense accounts, then the dinners and all the social things that we're paying for on top of the $147,000 salary, plus medical, health insurance, and benefits that go along with it, most of them for life if they stay there long enough, which I think that's the only reason they want to get in. So we're paying, he wants another $25 a day, right, for every day they are working. Is he, I don't know if it's, the same kind of thinking as the tax. They want us to continue paying for every nickel and penny and dime and dollar they have to shell out of their own pocket, and they can take advantage of insider trading, and we can't. Who makes the rules? Did you know there's tax-free zones? Great for business. Bring jobs in. Don't pay taxes. Bring jobs. Let the people pay the taxes. You provide the jobs. Well, I just saw on the highway, there's a text zone, a texting zone. Because 5 seconds of texting on a on your cell phone could be disastrous, catastrophic, and fatal. So now the interstates I was on the other day, I saw one. It had a texting zone, big signs, pull off. Didn't look like it had facilities of any kind. Had some cars in there, and that's where people were doing their business. That's where they were texting, which is better than if they were driving. Got some updates for you on some health conditions. Now, I'm not a doctor, and I don't pretend to be one. I never will. Not smart enough. But I do try to look for things that are a bit unusual. Now, we know there's many incredible uses of apple cider vinegar. I use it for the acid reflux. You know, you feel that pain like going on and the discomfort and all the other things and the gas and the bloating and the belching and the farting and everything. It's nasty. A couple of shots of apple cider vinegar with water, not straight. A mix, I think, a teaspoon to 6 or 8 ounces of water. Chug it down because I don't want to taste it. Swallow it in one gulp. Like that nasty stuff you have to drink before a colonoscopy. Man, they got to come up with something better than that. That stuff is foul. And then I drank it all. Went for the exam. Thank goodness everything was all right. The doctor said it wasn't as clean in there as it should have been. Oh, man, I felt bad. But he found nothing, which is good for me. And wait another couple of years. If you're 50, guys, go get that done. Women, too. You know, it's not invasive. It's not embarrassing. It's not shameful. And once you do it, you're fine. And everybody takes good care in these places. And you'd be surprised. The first time I went, maybe 25 years ago, maybe more, 30 years ago, I was talking to some of the nurses there afterwards. I said, boy, that's really some procedure. She said, we have people coming in for enemas every day. What the heck is going on there? People go to a gastro guy to get an enema to take care of business that nature should be taking care of. If the plumbing is working, then what are you doing to make it not work? Right? Clogging it up with stuff. I don't know what you're eating out there, but it ain't the right thing. So anyway, on my feet, I have tried various things because I said I have a lot of aches and pains and I'm always looking for things that are relatively safe, harmless, and maybe useful. So last night, I upset the balance of power in the family and I was ostracized for a little bit because I cut up an onion, got some duct tape, and taped it to the bottom of my feet. I put socks on and covered it up with a towel because it was a nasty onion that was going bad. I figured, let me try it. And the onion is supposed to draw out the toxins. From what I've read, because everything you read on the internet is true, isn't it, folks? I don't know. Everything you hear on You About Ready with Marty Ford live on BBSRadio.com, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, is true and real. I ain't lying, like Rudy Ray Moore used to say. So I put that on my feet, and they felt a little better. Now, I played ball tonight, so they're hurting now, and I don't have any onions. I got to go to another one. And I will not use a Vidalia on my feet, because they're just too sweet to eat. You don't want to waste them on your feet. They're a real treat. Maybe I can have penguin happy feet. The other thing I do is when I start, like I get the phlegmology all over in the winter, I take some Vicks, rub it on my feet, put a pair of socks on so you're not slipping and sliding and soiling the carpet and the sheets. And hopefully it will reduce that congestion and coughing and so forth, which it has on occasion. Doesn't always work. I don't know why. But mentally, I think it's a placebo effect. And the other thing I do is I got some arthritis and all the kinds of aches and pains, and I'll take oatmeal, cook up a batch of oatmeal, and just lay it on top of where the pain is, maybe 15 or 20 minutes, and then see if it goes away. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. There's nothing like youth to help you get over your illness and ailments. But we don't have that. I don't have that. But I do have things that I use occasionally to try to get me going. Here's an update. That affluenza kid down in Texas who took out 4 people because he was drunk driving, right? They made a settlement for $2 million with one of the families whose kid was left paralyzed. But the kid who did all this is still suffering in his country club $400,000 a year rehab, living the life, and he's going to go out because we forgive him. He's going to do it again. And they're going to probably settle with the other people as well, because money talks and bullshit walks. And it's a damn shame. It's a damn shame that that kid had to do that. That he couldn't be taught life lessons and limitations and boundaries suffering from affluenza. What the hell is that? That's just being spoiled, rotten, no good. I care about my belly button and nothing else. Right? No means no. We hear it all the time. Especially for people who are trying to get inappropriate with other people. I'm saying no to the spam, the junk email. I get maybe 50 a day, maybe more. And I'm saying, what the heck is going on? I go to the unsubscribe, I unsubscribe. Next day I got 15 more for the same thing. And I don't need Garcinia Cambogna. I got flowers to buy. I don't need Botox. I don't want credit scores. I don't need a car. I don't need satellite or cable TV or anti-aging crap. Bath and shower stuff, cherry blossoms, hummingbird things, whatever it is, fruit trees, stick with nature, right? I don't need the garden hose. I don't need the stuff that makes you do things for your grass to help them grow. Because I told you, cut your grass seed, and lime, and walk away. Forget all the other stuff. You'll have beautiful grass. I did it as a kid. I'm sure it'll work now if you can get your lawn in shape of some kind to recover from the past generation of chemicals and you know, things like that. And all you got to do is give it love. This is Marty Ford on bbsradio.com. We're ready to sign off. We want to say one thing. We want you to understand that if it weren't for people like me, there wouldn't be people like me. And if it weren't for people like you, there wouldn't be people like you. So I'm trying to be the best me I can be. I want you to be the best you can be. And you will when you power up your power, because the power is in you.